The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 4 and 18 to 26. It can be found on page 1114 of the Church Bibles. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all of the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchreae because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went to the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed in Caesarea, he went to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and travelled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and knew about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, we pray that in the next few moments your Holy Spirit will come among us, that each one of us, whatever circumstances we are, might be open to being nudged by you in a way which moves us on and develops us in our Christian lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. In the early church, there were many examples of people who dedicated and sacrificed themselves to God's service. The big names that inevitably stand out are Peter, Stephen, James, Paul, Silas, Timothy. But, as Valerie said at the beginning of the service, there are other less well-known people equally dedicated to the service of God. Lydia, who was a subject of last week's sermon, was one such person. And the husband and wife team, Aquila and Priscilla, are two more. And as we look this morning at their service to God, there is much, I believe, that although it's 2,000 years ago, there's much that we can learn from them about perhaps the way we develop our relationships with God and the impact that can have on the communities we serve. We're first introduced to them in our reading from Acts 18. Verse 2 tells us that Aquila and his wife Priscilla have been driven out of Rome in 52 AD by the Emperor Claudius. Claudius expelled all Jews from Rome, accused them of starting riots. So, after the expulsion, they settled in Corinth, a large commercial city in Greece, and it was in Corinth where they met the Apostle Paul. Interestingly, God brought Aquila and Priscilla into Paul's life through their shared profession, tent making. Paul was a tent maker, Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. And this was the beginning of a lifelong relationship that Aquila and Priscilla had with Paul. Tent making. Note that this was the common denominator. Common work and social and sporting interests can be a great vehicle for us to make meaningful relationships in and to introduce people to Christ. That common link that we've got, whether it's golf, cricket, and I played cricket for 30 years here at Rothley on many occasions because most of the cricketers had no Christian link at all, but they called me the Rev. And when there was an issue, let's have a word with the Rev. And often it was in tragic circumstances. I opened the batting with a lad one Saturday afternoon. It was a fireman. And at 11:30, the telephone went. His daughter had been killed in a car crash. No one to turn to. Another lad, super cricketer, dropped dead on the 18th hole of a golf course round here. You couldn't have seen a fitter chap. But that was a context in which there were no Christian links at all. And so just being who you are, standing up for Christ, can be important. One example I'll give you from work, just to show, even if you're in a tough work situation, that things can happen. I was sitting in my office. For those who don't know me, I worked in a university for 40 years, long time. But I was sitting in my office. I think at the time, I was looking back, I was Dean of Business and Law, something exciting like that. And there was a knock on the door. And let's call him Bill. It wasn't his name, but let's call him Bill. Knock on the door. Bill came in. Now, Bill taught law on one of the courses. I was in politics, really, but law, he came and did a law module every week to our students. And he knocked on the door, and I could see there was something wrong. I said, "What's the matter, Bill?" He said, basically, I'll paraphrase, "My life's in a complete mess, an utter complete mess." And he told me what the issues were. Now, this chap was a lawyer, and a very good lawyer, Bill. Did I say it was Bill? Anyway, if it was Bill. And I didn't honestly know what to do. But because he was a lawyer, and he showed some interest in the Christian faith, I said, after a lot of thinking and careful, when I saw him the following week, I said, "Just read this." And it was a book called Evidence for the Resurrection. You might think that's an unusual book to give someone who's come to you in a complete mess in their life, Evidence for the Resurrection. But it was written by Norman Anderson, who was a lawyer. And he pieced together, through a legal frame, through a legal lens, the evidence for the resurrection in a way that showed that Christ did indeed rise from the dead. A very, very well-written piece. He became a knight, actually, Sir Norman Anderson, later on. And it was through that that this chap, Bill, was converted to Christ. Within 2 years, he was church warden of probably the biggest church in Leicester at the time. He'd come from a hopeless situation, and the link was latching on to that professional qualification, the professional interest he had. Now, that's one example that sprung to mind as I was preparing this. Because Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla were tent makers. That work was a common base they had. Sometimes, although we perhaps don't realize it, the work, our interests, our sporting interests, etc., can be a really important vehicle for linkages. Being there alongside people in situations, we can show the love of Christ and be unafraid where appropriate to give an account of the faith that is within us. In 1 Peter 3:15 we read, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always, not occasionally, but always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Always be prepared. It is tough at times, but Scripture does that. I've never had anyone who has punched me in the face for talking about Jesus Christ. Or even who has sworn back at me and thrown expletives at me. A lot depends on the way you handle it. Talks about gentleness and respect here, not barging in with point A, B, C, etc. As our sermon title implies, Aquila and Priscilla served God together as a married couple. They were united in the gospel. They dedicated their lives to God and moved on from place to place wherever God directed them. And believe me, as we'll see, he frequently directed them. They were on the go the whole time. And so in the first few verses of Acts 18, we see them working alongside Paul in Corinth. In verses 18 and 19, we read that when Paul left Corinth for Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla accompanied him to assist with the work there. In verses 22 to 26, we see Aquila and Priscilla remained in Ephesus, helping a learned man called Apollos from the university city of Alexandria to gain a better understanding of the Scriptures, and a better understanding particularly of the Holy Spirit. So, from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus, you might think that's enough travelling to be going on with, but actually there's more to come. Because in Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome a few years later, we read, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Greet also the church that meets at their house." They returned to Rome after the death of Emperor Claudius. Emperor Claudius was followed by Nero, who in his early days was reasonable, but it soon became absolutely brutal in his reign. So they went back to Rome, those early days, and then later on still they returned, they went back to Ephesus. Paul says in Romans, they risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. All the churches of the Gentiles. So it's highly likely, therefore, that these two ordinary people, tent makers, travelled to several other areas at Paul's request. So it seems that these foot soldiers for the gospel ministered to all the Gentile churches in some way. What wonderful devotion. They were absolutely wholehearted in their commitment to Jesus. This, as I said at the beginning, was 2,000 years ago. But what an example for us today. Aquila and Priscilla model for us a couple united for the gospel, dedicated to God and to the advancement of his kingdom. Yet, there is absolutely no evidence in Scripture that they ever preached a sermon or were ever ordained. We don't know of any formal position either of them held. They were just themselves. They were Aquila and Priscilla. They were a wonderful blessing to the churches of God because they gave themselves fully to God to be used for his glory in the churches they served. And that is the whole point, the point I want to make this morning, albeit in a rather convoluted way probably. But that's the point I want to make. They were ordinary people, tent makers. They'd not got any formal theological qualifications. They were essentially lay people like us. But their dedication and commitment to Christ was nothing other than truly inspirational. And whether you are married or single, old or young, the example of their faithfulness was something for us all to think about and to pray about. The example of their faithfulness is something that nudged me when I prepared this sermon. Faithfulness. No pick-and-mix consumerist religion for them. No popping along when it suits us, when we've nothing better to do. No, committed to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. It was wholehearted. It was unambiguous. Let's be honest. All of us, from the youngest to the oldest, have opportunities to serve. And those opportunities can sometimes focus on prayer, praying for people. We need to engage our energy, our talents, our time, our possessions. And in many ways, this church, I believe, does a really good job on that. Lots of people do lots of things for Christ. And that's wonderful. It's worth thanking God for. An awful lot happens through talents, time, possessions, etc. But sometimes we need to remind ourselves to be ready to give an account for the faith that is within us. Not just to talk about church, but to talk about the faith that is within us. Aquila and Priscilla went further than this. In Acts 18, 24 to 26, we see that they also discipled a young believer. Just listen to this from Acts 18. Meanwhile, we read, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. They saw that Apollos needed more grounding in the Christian faith. He knew about the baptism of John, but not about the baptism in the Spirit. You see, what impressed me about what they did there was that they could see the flaw. They tackled it themselves. They didn't turn to someone else, say, I'm not able to do this. They didn't pass the buck. They didn't say, oh, we'll leave that to the vicar. Not that there were vicars then. They didn't pass the buck. They didn't wheel someone else to do it. They took it upon themselves as a couple to take Apollos under their wing, to teach him, to train him the faith. Yes, as a church, we need to be involved in reaching the lost for Christ. That must be at the top of our agenda. But we also ought to see it as our personal responsibility to play a part in helping to ground those new to the faith in the basics of Christian life so that they can develop and grow. Sometimes this is one-to-one. So the importance of nurturing faith is vital. It came home to me this week. On Tuesday, I went up with Sue to Wyvale Garden Centre. Now, why do you think I went on Tuesday? You're absolutely right. For those who don't live around here, it's 10% off if you're over 65. All right. So we went on Tuesday, and we bought lots of these nice packs of annuals. Lots of them. But you got lots of tokens, so it only ended up a reasonable price, actually. You got tokens for this and 10% off. So it was a reasonable deal. They looked lovely. We went home and decided we'd better plant them. Well, the soil was absolutely rock hard. Absolutely rock hard. Sue had the trowel, I was hoeing. And we dug in and dug in. It took ages. And then, of course, we watered. And I did some watering. Big of me, isn't it? But I did a bit of watering. And then I needed some more. Nothing was happening. I'd see them wilting and wilting. And then a bit more. And then last night, just before the football, yet more. Today I'll be doing a bit more. Because otherwise they will fade. They were beginning to fade already, but this water revived them. And doing that reminded me of really what Priscilla and Aquila were doing here. They were nurturing someone in the faith. Getting alongside them. Important. Helping them. Befriending them. And in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, we see that Aquila and Priscilla opened their home for this. They opened their home. Their willingness to do this was further substantive evidence of their love for the Lord and a willingness to use all their possessions and resources in the service of God. Here in Rothley, we've got about 100 people in our 10 house groups, and there are other supportive groups within the church. But these groups can become the spiritual powerhouse of a church. Their clear biblical focus helps us to grow as Christians and to make supportive and meaningful relationships. Most are fortnightly, one is weekly, some are in the morning, some are in the afternoon, some are in the evening. If you're not involved in one of them, please do consider it. Pray about it. Have a word with me about it, about the menu of groups on offer and what might suit you. I've put this little pink leaflet together, which is underneath the notice board where there's a big notice about house groups. I've just updated this, so this has got absolutely bang up-to-date information about each house group, where they meet, what they're for, etc. So do take one of those from at the end of the service. But just think about it. If you've never been to one, they're not horrendous things that you need to grip your teeth for. They're the very reverse. But sometimes you need a bit of confidence to try it. So do have a word with me if you want to at the end. But to conclude, some people think that you've got to be exceptionally talented or especially gifted or particularly well trained to serve the Lord. That is not the case. Aquila and Priscilla prove that anyone can be used by God if we just use what we have and do what we can. All of us can pray. It is too easy in our busy lives to become church consumers, just to come to church for what we can receive, what we can soak up, when it suits us. All of us have gifts. There's a place for all of us to serve, whether we're married, as these people were, whether we're single, whether we're old, or whether we're young. It makes no odds at all. All of us can serve. I think their legacy is a model of ministry. Over a long period of time, in numerous different locations and contexts, they demonstrated consistency in terms of spreading the good news, in terms of discipleship, and in terms of loving care for the community. And these are exactly the three elements in Bishop Martin's everyday faith, shaped by God every day. Everyday prayer, everyday witness, everyday action, everyday culminating in everyday faith. Bishop Martin has been here 2 years in the diocese. This is his agenda for action, for discipleship, for moving forward. There are plenty of these on the shelves at the back, so do take one if you've not got it, because this, as it were, formalizes from a diocesan point of view, from the point of view of the Diocese of Leicester, the importance of these three elements: proclaiming the good news, discipleship, nurturing, growing spiritually, and loving care for those around us. Hugely important. Tradition has it that Priscilla and Aquila, remember, ordinary people like you and me, eventually died as martyrs like Paul. We praise God that because of their faithfulness, their legacy lives on. Their commitment to Jesus Christ was always wholehearted, never partial nor consumerist. It is, my friends, a model for us all to reflect upon and to draw upon as we live our everyday faith, both in this community and further afield. Amen.